In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Social distancing is painful. We can no longer meet with friends, hug and embrace them. We must keep our physical distance. Many of us are deprived from sharing a meal with family and friends, and some of us are deprived of all physical touch. In some households, family members are self-isolating from one another and avoiding touching one another. Some people live alone and have no physical contact with anyone at all. On Maundy Thursday, we usually gather to celebrate the Eucharist and remember Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples as he shares with them the Passover meal. During the service, it is traditional for the priest to wash the feet of several members of the congregation to remember Jesus stooping down to wash his disciples' feet. It is an especially physical service, as we not only share the bread and wine, but also have our feet washed. Of course, this year we cannot do these symbolic physical actions. We cannot even meet together to worship. Some of us may find it very difficult indeed not to receive the bread and wine regularly. Perhaps for all of us, the fact that we cannot receive communion at the moment may make us reflect afresh on its significance for us and the mysterious way God nourishes us through the bread and the wine. At the Last Supper, Jesus gave the bread and wine to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, and this is my blood," and told them to continue to do this in remembrance of him. Not being able to share the bread and wine together is a real loss to us. We know that God meets us in his grace in other ways. Nevertheless, the Eucharist is central to our life as the body of Christ, and we look forward to being able to celebrate communion together in the future. However, I want us to focus in this sermon not so much on the meaning of the bread and the wine, which in normal times we share every Sunday, but on the foot washing, which we remember particularly at this service once a year. I would like to encourage you to use your imagination as we reflect on our gospel reading. If you are able to, put a bowl of warm water and a towel to help you picture Jesus washing his disciples' feet. In one sense, this is a homely scene. Jesus shares a meal with his friends, and during supper their dusty, tired and smelly feet are washed. In dry and dusty conditions, people had to have their feet washed regularly, though this rather unpleasant job would usually be done by a slave. But this scene is not, of course, just that of a homely meal. There is a dark backdrop. Jesus knows that the hour of his death is near and that one of those closest to him will betray him. Indeed, the sense of gathering darkness is made explicit in some of the words that are missed in our reading this evening. Jesus speaks to Judas after he has received his bread and dipped it in the dish, knowing that he is about to betray him. And we're told that Judas immediately went out, and it was night. So Jesus knows his hour is almost come and his death approaches. Jesus, as John emphasizes, is the one who has come from God and the one who will return to God. Yet he is also the one who wraps a towel around his waist and stoops to wash his disciples' feet. I am reminded of our reading from Philippians last Sunday. Jesus was in the form of God, but did not grasp that status, but humbled himself, being born in human likeness and taking the form of a servant, a slave. Here he is in this gospel scene, taking the role of a slave and bending down to wash his disciples' feet. When it comes to Peter's turn, he is so appalled that he cannot keep quiet. He is incredulous. "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Then he responds with determined resistance, "You will never wash my feet." This just cannot be right. Jesus is their teacher, their Lord. How can he wash their feet? They should be washing his feet, as in fact Mary of Bethany had already done, as recorded in the previous chapter of John's Gospel. I wonder how we would have felt if Jesus had knelt to wash our feet. Many people are particularly embarrassed by their feet, viewing them as misshapen, smelly, and unsightly, so they like to keep them hidden. Look at the bowl of water and the towel, and even, if you can bear it, at your own naked feet. Can you imagine Jesus bending down to wash your feet? How would you respond? Perhaps we would feel a little like Peter. But Jesus' response to Peter's resistance is, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." He is not here simply talking about Peter's need to have his dirty feet washed. These words have a much deeper meaning. Jesus insists that Peter cannot be his disciple, cannot follow him and share his life, unless he is washed, that is, cleansed deep within. Look back at the bowl of water in front of you. We all know that washing dirty feet with such water will make them clean. It may not get rid of bunions and swellings and sore toenails, but it will make them clean on the surface and relax the muscles. And that can bring a wonderful sense of relief. I think of the luxurious feeling of washing tired feet after a long walk in the mountains. At the moment, of course, we are not able to go for long mountain walks, and washing feet may not seem too much of a priority. However, we all know about the importance of washing our hands, and we may be doing this thoroughly up to 30 times a day or more. Washing our hands thoroughly will not only remove the dirt we can see, but even get rid of the virus we cannot see. But we know that however much washing we do ourselves, we cannot get rid of our past mistakes. The foolish words we have spoken, the ways we have hurt others, the wrong choices we have made, attitudes and actions of which we are ashamed and keep hidden away from others and even from ourselves. What Jesus offers us is a complete cleansing. Look at the bowl of water again and try to name before God those attitudes and actions for which you need his cleansing and forgiveness. It may be that in this enforced confinement, with so much less to distract us, that we all have a keener sense of our own failures and sins. We may come face to face with our greed and addictions, or we may be confronted by our bad temper, unkindness, and critical spirit. Look at the water in front of you and try to name before God those areas of your life and heart which need his cleansing and forgiveness. We are cleansed and forgiven through Jesus' death on the cross. His forgiveness, his cleansing is freely offered to all. His forgiveness even embraces his enemies. He prays from the cross for those who are taunting him and torturing him, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We may not think of ourselves as enemies of Jesus, but we all know that we fail in following Jesus as the first disciples did. This service ends without a blessing, but ends instead with the Gospel of the Watch, telling of Peter and the disciples deserting Jesus. Jesus is left alone. As he faces the cross, he is deserted by everyone. I said earlier that social distancing is painful. We may feel very isolated and lonely. But we are not alone because Jesus is always present with us through his Spirit. He offers us his cleansing, healing love, a love which cost him his very life. Yes, he is always present with us, even in the darkest and most painful times, even in the most God-forsaken places, but we are not always present to him. Let us ask for forgiveness this Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, for the ways we resist him and desert him. But let us remember too his nearness, his love, his forgiveness, and his cleansing. I want to end with the three final lines of Malcolm Guite's poem for Maundy Thursday. You can find the whole poem on the website. The God of love is kneeling at our feet. Though we betray him, though it is the night, he meets us here and loves us into light. Amen.